Yeah.
I think we're ready to rock.
I don't know why I'd be in a hurry to get this shit show started, but fuck it. From our dusty cellars, taking careful note of the subtle linguistic difference between shitting yourself and shitting by yourself, it's the final countdown.
You can do both. I just want to say, you can do both.
They are a nested set.
They are, yeah.
You can shit yourself publicly. You can shit by yourself. You can shit yourself by yourself, but you cannot shit by yourself publicly.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
You've nailed it.
You've nailed it. Yeah, there it is. Get the Venn diagram.
Classic two-point Venn diagram.
Yeah. I'm Manus Cronin, writer of that joke.
Did you say proud writer of that joke, Matt?
I did. You will note I carefully didn't. I often think that I'm actually all right at writing jokes. And then I think about it, it's like I'm actually not a good joke writer at all. The only ones I write that are ever anywhere approaching good arrived fully formed. Like as soon as I have to think about them, they don't get any better.
Yeah.
You're not a master of the craft.
You're not a good joke writer. You're a good thing sayer.
A sayer of things, if you will, which is more important.
I mean, if it's a race and you could just say the thing.
Yeah, which granted, I don't know anyone who I've ever heard saying that before. You know, let's just keep this moving. Let's just keep it rolling. Let's just keep it cinnamon. Let's keep it breakfast. Let's keep it rolling. He weighs more than a stag party after someone buys a round. Gavin Carberry.
Hey, how are things? Way!
Yeah, right?
Oh, I get it. Yeah.
That's good.
That's a thinker, that one.
Yeah.
Use your noodle. He put on the kettle and had a wank. In fairness, the recipe did say something about coming to a boil. James Belfast.
Lovely cup of tea it was too.
I'm feeling you've used that joke. I have a feeling you've used that joke structure like 5 times.
Oh, there's like 3 jokes.
Coming to a conclusion.
Yeah. Yeah, coming to your senses. You know.
Yeah.
I've had many of them. Well, actually, I may not have used that one yet. So everyone, stay away from my son again. He likes his sex like he likes his solicitors. Legal and brief. Jack Toner.
And preferably affordable.
Being for a solicitor, I guess.
Good to be here, Manus.
Yeah, it's good to have you, Jack, and your new haircut. You said you got a serious haircut. A serious haircut wouldn't look so silly. Also joining us this week... Ben Clifford. I don't know if I mentioned it on the show before, but when I was doing a show for Ian Mullins and I needed to get a haircut, I said, where can I get one of those €5 haircuts? And he says, you already have one.
Oh.
Such a good put down.
Wow.
That is so good. Also joining us this week, Fresh. Which is a stretch, but fresh from his trip to Hag Extravaganza, it's Ben Clifford.
Oh, way! Pro boner. That's what I was going to say.
I'd say probably. We had a funnier text conversation prior to the show about like anger-induced rage boners than we're likely to have on the program. So, you know, and that.
Just so you're aware, Lister, we're funny in private. We are funny in private.
That's only available at the $5 level on our Patreon, which is live today. It is the Taliban dot Patreon dot they don't need it anymore. They have another source of money now. So we're taking that over, you know.
And weirdly, we had to trade all of the Afghan poppy fields for that Patreon, which, like, I mean, seems like a bad deal to us.
All the tea in China, all the poppy fields in Afghanistan, these were things on the agenda. Frankly, all the anything in China is loads.
I mean, these are things we'd probably be getting
by this stage from the Tap House if we kept that sponsorship deal going.
look, come here now. The only thing that wouldn't be a lot of if you got it, all of it, all of the number of it that they have in China would be democracy, I'd say. Oh. Probably.
No, according to that Guns N' Roses album I keep meaning to listen to.
Yeah. The best I'll say for it is better than the corresponding album by Velvet Revolver. And that is all I will say. And you wouldn't have thought it would be that way around. On the agenda this week, Gavin saw a film that he would like to talk about. We're into the sixth day of my neighbor's alarm going off and not turning off. So before we
sure
do anything...
you get used to it. You like being in the hot tub.
You'll miss it when it's gone.
Yeah, I think at this point it's going. My biggest problem is it's going to go away. It too is fleeting. I feel like Buddhists feel about possessions about this noise. It's kind of like COVID restrictions. It's like a minor inconvenience made entirely major by duration.
Oh yeah.
God, what a great take.
Like a boner in sweatpants.
Oh,
I just want to say,
honestly,
well, it depends. If you're trying to show it off, they certainly are. Yeah,
I would go sweatpants, hot pants, no pants, jeans.
So wait, I can't tell if you're rating from the bottom up or the top down. There
he is.
Oh, it's all the same.
You never bone with quite the same rage as you do in like jeans, where it just knows it can't go anywhere.
And it's making somebody stop this train.
It's like trying to incredibly hulk your jeans.
Yeah. Busting makes me feel good. that's my boner trying to get out of jeans.
I just want to say, fuck you, Frank. Fuck you right in your eye. It's been 6 days. Sort your fucking alarm out.
For a second, I thought Frank was the name of your boner, but yes, it's your neighbor.
I guess he could be dead.
I think after six days, someone would have done something.
Yeah, could he have accidentally purchased, maybe at some sort of auction, the strain alarm that went off when you went to the George Palace?
Oh yeah, he might have. And it's still going off.
It's still going off.
It's quite possible. It can't be turned off. If he is dead, I guess I take back fuck you, Frank, and replace it with like RIP Frank, a life well lived.
fuck you, Frank's relatives, I suppose. Like, does
fuck
that
you,
get passed down?
The executor of Frank's estate.
Yes.
In fact, let me tell you something, executor of Frank's estate. If you come to this estate, you're going to know all about getting executed. it's not so bad for us because we're on the far side of the road and at the back of the house with the windows closed, you really can't hear it. But the man who's in the house behind him has been around several times trying to fiddle with the box up the I'm with him. I mean, if anything, I hope he electrocutes himself so that somebody addresses the problem. Because I figure if there's a dead guy electrocuted in the front garden, they'll address the problem.
Yeah, they'll address it quicker.
We're kind of doing what I've always argued, and in secret, someone who I know who works relatively high up in a homeless charity thinks they should do, which is to make the problem more acute so that it gets solved quicker. As in just stop helping for a little while.
And the McNulty season 5 approach.
Yeah, hey, and it worked and I mean, it's season 5, so we kind of drifted in and out, but I'm pretty sure everything worked out fine for him. Yeah. But before we get into any of that, I mean, not that we couldn't talk about Frank's stupid alarm for another 45 minutes, we've talked about worse. Before we get into that, we do have a beer to review. I believe only 2 people have it, but that's still 2 people.
It's double what we had last week, I believe. It feels so good to have filled out my application form in full. I mean, it's been, 16 weeks?
Something like that.
And let me tell you, the first taste of this beer, whose application form is filled out in full, is delicious. I haven't been drinking very many, double IPAs, let alone triple IPAs. And this Wicklow Wolf crossbreed series with Boundary called Underwater Welding packs a punch.
What percentage are we boozy. Talking, Gav?
We're talking 10.
Boom.
Boozy. Flavorful. Not sure what the flavor is just yet. Think I need to kind of sit on it and mellow it out. But like, yeah, it's warming and lovely. Yeah, I am a fan of this. And I think Absinthe has made the heart grow fonder in terms of 10% beers. Now, will I be saying that after 8 weeks where James was once again in charge of the order and ordered a lot of strong beers?
Mm. Yeah. One of the beers was 15 quid.
Yeah. And hey, in my defense, I only was the one to put in the order because Gavin, in a nice twist of fate, plan was.
Yeah,
he was the one who's going to pick the beers, and he didn't.
Yeah, James, thank you very much for calling me on shit. I did plan was it, and I'm glad you picked up the mantle. Maybe next time, after like 8 weeks of 12, 11% beers, maybe I'll be a little bit quicker on the trigger.
In my defense, I did throw in one session.
And you'll have one hell of a session if you drink them all at once.
James, what do you think, first tasting?
Well, I suppose as you'd expect from a triple IPA, the first overwhelming flavor is just the alcohol, because there's a lot of it. There are some nice flavors sort of underneath that, maybe more coming through as sort of the aftertaste. Not entirely sure if they've gotten the balance quite right, but there is some like fruitiness there that's very nice. Given the 10%, this is probably one that's going to, by the end, be like, yeah, this is great. Love it. Yeah, like even from the first sip or so, it's pretty nice. Bit too like front and center with the alcohol taste, but still pretty good. Also, just one of those beers where as soon as you open the can, just the smell fills the room. It's a very nice smell.
Then we were originally going to just claim you were drinking this, but then we remembered, of course, that fibbing is not permitted on the Fine Ale Countdown.
Yeah.
Apart from the very rare exceptions when it is permitted. But you've had it recently, though.
Yes, I had this last week, and I think it was in our little private online chat going, oh, Wicklow Wolf are doing loads of collabs, and it'd be interesting to see if collabs have gotten in any way better. But I did have it last week, and I brought along another Wicklow Wolf called Vortex Illusion. I kind of feel like the kid who's one trend behind, because this is a double IPA. It's like, oh, they got triples now? Oh, shit. Check out my Digimons for all the Pokemon, you fucking loser. Get out of here. That's me. And it's, yeah, it tastes good. I think the wolf, which is what I'm going to call them, and in my head picture them as Wolf from Gladiator from now on, are good at boozy beers. And probably good at non-boozy beers, because they've one called Eden that's really low percent, and I like that too. So good job, Wicklow Wolf. I don't think they got either we didn't know enough about beers, which I refuse to believe, or they were shite when we last had them on the show. I think they've gotten better.
Yeah, I remember their, like, Arcadia is their red, isn't it? That's kind of middle of the road, I believe. And then Elevation as well, their IPA. Mm-hmm. I remember being, like, kind of on the good side of middle of the road. Their collaborations, however, I remember they did, they had Bread and Butter, like, as a collab as well. I think I remember that being quite good. Their collaborations have been good, so they're obviously, like, creative and, like, good executionally in terms of that. I just have never, like, Wicklow Wolf's core range isn't the best core range, in my opinion. But, like,
taste.
Yeah,
yeah, their Black Pearl Porter did quite poorly with us as well. Now, I also have to be careful not to lump them in with the other brewery that's called Wicklow. They're just Wicklow. So I'm with Ben with calling them Wolf, because we're not confused with anything
now. Now that I'm in their kind of, I guess, territory, I don't know how you refer to a wolf's habitat.
Their catchment area?
Catchment area, yeah. Now I'm one of the pack out near where they brew. I've had a lot more of their stuff because they have that nice being able to be locally on tap places. And there's a few ever since Northern Lights by Whiplash has seemingly disappeared as a low, as a lab. I've gone for their Wicklow's Eden, which is like a 3.8, which isn't really a lab, but sort of to a week of 10s and 12 percenters. It's the best you can get. So they're, I think their core has gotten Arcadia. I'm not sure if that's their red or if that's their gluten-free lager.
Maybe it's their gluten-free lager. Yeah, I can't remember.
I can't remember. Or maybe that's something else. Anyway, where I usually drink, which is the Harbour Bar, has a load of them. And even when I'm there, I'm like, one little fawn, please. Because they're doing something. And I always get served a Sierra Nevada. And every time it comes out, I'm like, oh, so the you should know this about your own taps. The labels are swapped. I forgot to tell you. The labels are swapped on those. Because it comes out as this big, like, properly dark, what a Sierra Nevada looks like.
Look
like that. And I have to be that dick. And I'm like, oh, God, I better... I just want
you're not being a dick by wanting what you asked for.
Yeah.
They do sometimes look at me as like it's a beer though. And like I fully empathize with that because that's exactly why the show started.
No,
we know who you are, and we're gonna give you random beers until you apologize for all those things you said.
I was greeted with when I asked in Laguna near where I work. I asked them what beer they had on tap, and the bar person said, "Oh, all of them."
Amazing!
So Heineken and Coors.
Heineken, Guinness, Coors. I mean, all of them. That's so fucking ghost.
I mean, well, I guess you know.
Okay, are you going to argue with them?
No, it was the one thing I knew for sure was that they didn't have all of them.
Yeah. I've been to places where they might have had most of them.
Yeah, most we have. Like, if you could genuinely claim to have most beers,
you have to.
There'd be so many beers.
Like, did any of the beer festivals we go to have most of the beers? No,
not even close. Not even close.
Your pub would have to look like the back of an organ to have that many pipes for all of the beers to be coming.
Yeah,
it would frankly wouldn't be worth the trade-off. Like it would have to be so crap of an establishment in order to have.
How many beers do you think there are in current, I would say, consumption? So currently available to purchase in Ireland right now. Not stuff that's like in production, currently available to purchase.
How many different types of beer?
Yeah. How many taps would you need to have to say we have it all? Or how many things would you need to have, bottles and cans?
God, I really wish there was someone who like could work out this.
Or someone we could signal.
Someone we could signal, yeah.
If you're limiting it to have to be of a currently available in Ireland, which, by the way, this server did not limit themselves to.
Oh, you mean of the ones currently available in Ireland? All of them.
All of those. Which, like, I couldn't see it because there's so many.
Because there's so many. Like, of the ones currently available in Ireland, like, there's so many importers as well. So you have to include, like, all of the Sierra Nevadas, all the Lagunitas, the Bostons, like, so many different ones. And then how many Irish breweries are there? 170? Each with like 5 beers? Minimum?
170? There can't be.
Is there 70? No, like, are there 70?
Oh. Is it over or under 1,000 beers? It's probably over 1,000.
Over 1,000, I would
think.
Well, no. Mm. Yes.
But like, how many are on the shelves in Craft Central as we speak, you know?
Oh, like if you went to a bar that had 100 beers on tap, it'd be fucking nationally at least famous. It'd be wow.
Some of these beers must be incredibly stale, or this bar would be doing unbelievable trade.
It'd be like the biggest feat in cellarmanship ever. You know.
There's a pub like that, I think, in New York that prides itself on having like 80 beers on tap. I could be making this up because the only time I've been to New York and the only time I've been to this pub, I had just come from a frozen margarita place, which I spent the day at, which is the best way to It's the
And wow. they had one thing on tap: frozen margaritas, and they did fucking deadly.
So good. But wow. I think I had like a full novel. Like I had to turn about 20 pages to see absolutely everything.
Unless you lived above it, you wouldn't care.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have the answer to the most taps in any bar. It was very easy to find. Does anyone want to stab a guess at the number and or location?
You had 80 in New York, Ben.
I'm gonna say London, 160.
Okay. London's a good one. Yeah, you gotta go for major cities, I think. So you gotta go for your New York, London. Tokyo's out, I would say. Somewhere in Australia, maybe Sydney or Melbourne. Sydney, 130.
Yeah, but it's all Fosters.
It's all Fosters, though, yeah.
Okay, they are saying by number of taps, so we might have some double lifting going on here, but that's certainly not the way they're selling it.
Oh, number of taps? Oh, okay, 200. And somewhere...
Viva Stadium, does that count as like one?
Chicago 200.
Chicago 200. That's a good guess.
Okay.
I think it's somewhere random in Germany, like Beerville, but whatever German for Beerville is.
Interesting.
Good.
Brautown.
Fuck Germany.
Brautown in on the outskirts of Hamburg, and I think it's 217. I think it's a weird odd number.
Manus, do you want to throw your hat in the ring on this one?
I need my hat.
Gotta keep your head dry.
Keep your head dry. Yeah.
It is the Raleigh Beer Garden in Raleigh, North Carolina, clocking in at 366 taps.
That's a lot of fucking more taps than days in a year.
I'd say that's probably what they were aiming for, that you can drink here every day and still
I want a bar that's more taps than days. That's my only.
They're also very proud that 144 of those are produced in North Carolina.
Wow. I thought you were going to say 144 of those are fresh. The rest is just going to, like, this one here is a commemorative beer produced for the 2012 London Olympics.
Yeah, they have to just all be like high ABV stouts so that they kind of would take the age. Like, otherwise,
most of them are water, but no one ever goes for most of them.
A lot of them are just soda streams. They've got a separate one for Coke, a separate one for Fanta.
It's one of those cinnamon machines where it's not just Coke, but it's Coke, Diet, Lime, and Vanilla. Hello. Yeah.
Hello. That is an impressive stat.
Yeah, and they seem to have a really broad selection. Like, there's a couple of, like, Brew Dogs in there. There's a bunch of shit that I've, like, this the Jai Alai from Cigar City. Like, there's a couple of stuff on here that we've had, you know? Yeah. It's an interesting... All right, guys, road trip.
Road trip to Raleigh, North Carolina. That tap house money got to be spent somehow.
What would be a nightmare to do, but really interesting to listen to, is when this show reaches 366 episodes, see how many of their taps you've had.
Oh, that would be a nightmare. Really fun to do. Does it involve any effort on our part?
Quite a lot.
And that's more than any at all.
Because if it's even some,
it's going to be a no for me.
But aren't there some shows that have super fans that do all that nerdy shit? Like that.
Yeah, with some shows are good.
Now and then, we just need to
let's start with fans and the then effort
problem again.
I've a feeling that Howard Helen has too much of a life to do that for us.
A sentence just we never thought we'd say.
Just about, in fairness.
I mean, he has time to listen to this.
His time. Sometimes it's just nice to fuck around an hour a week and say, that was totally unproductive.
That was a big waste of my time, physically and mentally.
I like to think he comes home from work at the cracker factory, puts on the slippers, breaks out the pie, puts on the headphones and goes, now for some Howard time. You've earned this, H-Bomb. You've earned this. Super smooth. Ben, the extravaganza report. None of us have been...
There was a lot of taps there. It's a really nice segue. Yeah. 20, which in hindsight wasn't 366. So come on, my deck. What the fuck you did with my stomach time at 20 taps? Because they called it this year Tap Stravaganza.
Oh.
Why?
Is it because usually they would have stuff out of like cans or bottles, and this time we were like, it's all about draft?
I think because Hag Stravaganza is such a paragon of a thing, they don't want to taint it with a COVID version. It's like you got your 2,000 people down in Ballymun. So this is the smaller Tap Stravaganza thing, which paired with our Box Stravaganza, which is a box of beer. It's really nice when you have a word like Stravaganza, because you can really put no effort at all into putting a word into this.
I mean, you really have put no effort in, because first of all, Hag Stravaganza barely scans. Box Stravaganza and fucking Tap Stravaganza on top are like branches off a fucking branch. Like,
And also, mania is a better word to put after anything.
Hagamania.
Box mania. Yeah.
What about Hagteria? Hagteria.
They have thankfully focused more on the hag part of the name than the white. They were initially really proud of the whole name. They started abbreviating it then, but
hags.
Also, I do want to ask if you know this hypothesis that has been raised is true. Why Ben didn't refer to his wedding as Matrimania?
Oh, because at the time I was into tropolises, so it was wedding tropolis.
Ah, wedding tropolis, very good.
Interesting. You were also trying to get married to a human woman at the time, so it's you know,
you gotta make sacrifices. Yeah.
Yeah,
my pillow wouldn't have put up so many complaints. But,
I've got to say, if you marry your waifu, you can call it whatever you fucking well like.
Waifu mania. Everyone gets a plus one because you bring along your pillow. It's all
I mean, yeah.
Time to consummate this with a nice sleep. That's what people do, right? They just have really nice sleeps.
That would seem like a more sensible use for a pillow, you know.
Tap Stravaganza. So, what is more interesting, the breakdown of money I spent to have about six beers, or the event itself?
We got time, both of them.
We've got time for both. The first one seems like it'd be short. Go for that.
Tickets were £60, so that's and Kim, so 120. Hotel was about 200, so we're at 320.
Yeah.
And then train tickets, probably about 50 all in. That's Dublin to Sligo and then Sligo Ballymote on the return. So we're at 370. And then it lashed rain. So we needed to buy two White Hag hoodies for £40 each. At the time, very worth it. Now that I have a White Hag hoodie at home tonight. That's an extra large, by the way. They only had extra large. I have an extra large White Hag.
Well, like it is a beer festival. I mean, they know their audience.
Yeah, it wasn't that they'd run out of mediums. They just didn't buy any.
So that was what? €450 was the deficit to my bank account to have six beers. Six or eight.
Now,
but all six or eight beers were really fucking good. So now, you tell me who's the fool.
The question, like, was six beers like the limit, or is six beers just like what you felt like drinking?
No, it was all you could drink.
Yeah.
You could have fucking loads of beers. And in fairness, if you could get to Sligo and stay for cheap, and we met a guy there who came and went on the same day, like that's us going, we haven't had a holiday during COVID. Yeah. Let's have a bit of a holiday. Mm. So of course we're getting a nicer hotel. Of course we're getting the hoodies while we're there because it's splashing rain and we need
to remember it by as well. Like basically, like Americans who buy the T-shirt to the show they didn't even go to.
There were people there with Hag Stravaganza like 4 and 5. Like they had a bit of that pride, that EP pride. You know, like some people wear the EP bands for all the EP.
The people who
it was
wear
a little bit. There was a little bit of that there.
Yeah. Now I will. Okay, I'm gonna pose a question to the group. as I get older, and it's happening day by day, so like not quickly, the idea of all you can drink for X euro is less appealing to me. Discuss.
It's funny because I don't think I've ever participated in an event where that was the rules. I agree with you, but like,
yeah, there's probably a bit of a trade-off. When you're younger, the question is, can I afford that? And that becomes, do I want to bother?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, yeah, like they obviously price it at like, you know, whatever. It's 30 euro and like, it's a 3 hour event. People are going to drink 6 pints. Like, well, like, and some people will drink less. We'll be making fucking money hand over fist. And some people try to game the system. Some people are just there to have a good time and like only have 2 or 3 drinks or whatever. But like, yeah, I have tickets to something on a Sunday, no less, which is all you can drink between the hours of 1 and 5. And to be honest, I think I'd love a soft drink. You know?
Like, what kind of event? I think I need a little more information. What kind of event is it?
It is
like a drinking event.
It's a barbecue. There's a barbecue place pop up just around the corner from us that's having like an end of summer party thing. They're like closing down because it's only for the summer. And yeah, it's 30 euro, like all you can eat, all you can drink kind of thing, which like great value, but like I will not be partaking in the all you can drink element.
Yeah, the all you can eat sounds a bit more intriguing at that stage.
Appealing. Yeah.
They also pair very badly, because if you're there like just consuming as much as you can in every direction, there's only one way that ends.
Like, yeah, where in Sligo was Extravaganza?
So they're in Ballymote, which is 2 stops away from Sligo town or city. I don't know if that was a cathedral. And to answer Gav's question, I see the account I gave there is a little bit unfair, because we left at around 8 and the event was on until like 10:30, 11 or so. But we were still kind of COVID times, it is. And we were like, oh, do we want to get the train with everyone back? Like,
yeah.
And being vegan, there was a toasty sandwich place there, and they didn't make us vegan toasties, but it was essentially an onion toasty. It was fine. It did what it did. So we wanted to have some dinner and stuff. So that was our own personal thing. The actual event itself, you would have gotten all 20 taps. They went in order. So it wasn't a kind of, you could go up to the bar and just go, can I have this, can I have this, can I have this? And as the night went on, I was able to go up and skip a few of the beers by saying, look, I'm off, but I really want to try number 17. Any chance I can get that before?
Yeah.
And they were really set. They were like, yeah, absolutely. Here you go. And so 20 beers, all you can drink in kind of taster 150 amounts was really nice. Like the actual event. It didn't feel like we were part of the stream. We were kind of outside in a marquee, left to our own devices. It definitely made me want to go back. When it's
like big, a proper the full show. Yeah.
Manus, if you keep the all you can drink.
Go ahead. No, Manus, you say, went to the full thing, didn't you? I'm on to that.
I went to the what?
The full thing? Have you been to Hag Extravaganza?
No, I was going 1 year and there was some complicated reason involving Dave why I didn't go. And it wasn't Dave's fault, but like it was, I just remember he was involved in it somehow. I think I like missed a train or something. There was some ridiculous reason why I didn't go before.
You didn't go and then found out that you'd be sleeping like on the kegs or something.
Dave had sourced accommodation for me because I'd left it till real late. And it turned out the accommodation he'd sought was in the room that, like, all of the breweries were storing, all the visiting breweries were storing their kegs.
Dave.
Presumably only did so he could see your face when he said, here you go, to the bar.
I mean, the true fact is, if I had have made it down there, I probably wouldn't have slept anyway. I mean, particularly if I was hanging around with that bloody lunatic. But that would have fit. That seems like it would have been the height of the time to go, because I was at the peak of my irresponsible drinking, and it was like we weren't widely hated by the beer community yet. We were sort of.
Wait, so you went before we started this podcast? Doesn't sound right.
Only about half of them hated us immediately. A lot of them thought we would. A lot of them thought we would kind of, as we progressed, we would start respecting the thing they like more. And
that Morpho then
tried to like help us and like steer us along the way. But I feel like a lot of them were really trying. Very much, they were being prop Joe to our Marlo Stanfield, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah, yeah.
We were just
yeah.
taking their help until we could take over the Connect altogether, you know?
Yeah.
And buy up all of craft beer and replace it all with the king of beers, because
the king? I prefer the champagne of beers.
Well, interestingly enough, combine the two of them in high enough quality and you get the real pain of beers.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Which is any collaboration that isn't good.
Yeah, it's just 24 Carlsbergs.
There is an all-you-can-drink event in the Mansion House, and I really can't remember who does it.
Yeah, it's called Being the Lord Mayor.
It's either like...
It was run by... God.
Whiplash,
it was run
right?
by Whiplash. Whiplash and Big yeah. Romance. And yes. that was all-you-can-drink.
I do want to go to that.
And that's something I think, like, within... hours. That was like a really good deal, because Avol in Dublin started at 12 and then went I think it went for like 4 or 5 hours, something like that.
No, they had a strange one where it was like you could get a ticket, if I remember this correctly, and I could be completely wrong. It was all you can drink, but you had slots, and your slots were either 12 to 5, in which case you were turfed it in Dublin, completely steaming, or 5 to whenever it closed, which is clearly the better slot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I would like to go to something like that. And the only ad I would give is because I know I get more belligerent the more I have, because I really dig my heels in like a stubborn dog. I would like just a ball pit. If there is an all-you-can-drink event, a big ball pit of which my friends and enemies can just push me into when
where you drown.
No.
I like that. When you initially said ball pit, I thought like a place where I can frolic by myself as like a vent. Like we can't control him, but we can aim him. No, it's just to forcibly put you.
Yes, yeah.
Actually, what you want is a ball cage.
Well, because the thing about ball pits. If you're sober, you're never getting out.
Yeah, if you're drunk enough, a ball pit is a ball cage.
That's it.
The first beer festival we went to as like a team felt like it was all you can drink. It wasn't, but they were so fast and loose with the tokens that it.
Yeah,
we had media passes and people kind of knew us a bit, and they were like, "Here, have a little taste of Rooney of this right here." And we were like,
"Yeah, well, we always."
I'm sure Ben was stealing some when he drinks some other time.
No. One, and I immediately learned my lesson. Because I turned around to a table. The problem is I get very chatty and forget people do not want to talk to me. Like, when I say I dig my heels in like a stubborn dog, I also have the joyous conversation of a dog who does not speak English. All dogs, I suppose. I think people want to be my friend. And so I was chatting this group of people. And then I thought, when they were like, please go away, please stop bothering us, I was like, I will. So I picked up the glass in front of me, which I assumed was mine, forgetting I was at someone else's table. And they said, that's mine. And I said, no, it's not. And I put it down beside mine, my cup, which had been taken away for health reasons, I presume. Because like, I clearly don't have anything in front of me. And they said, security. And I ran away. The story is in full. It's been on the podcast, but
yeah, it has.
Since that day, I've tried to, it's a harsh reckoning realizing there is a Hulk inside your Bruce Banner, and your Bruce Banner is also a patronizing day.
Meh, it's all fine. Everything's fine.
He's still an Avenger.
Yeah,
he's still at the end of the day, he's still an Avenger.
Still an Avenger. Like so,
he's on the team. Hey, he's on the team. Mm-hmm.
You might have to go full Hulk and just decide that you're always drinking.
Yeah, that's my secret.
I'm always drunk.
It's a good move, and then you'll never get sick.
I combine the brains and the booziness. Best of both worlds.
Speaking of Gavin, always you saw a drunk, film. I saw a film called Another Round.
Yeah, I watched the trailer after you said that. It's basically the Michelin Web sketch, The Inebriati, right?
Yeah, exactly. It is. Yeah. A bunch of teachers whose lives aren't going great to a greater or lesser extent decide that, based on some sort of research, that humans are born with a blood alcohol content that's too low, and in order to live your best life, you need to drink, like, let's say 2 to 3 glasses of wine every couple of hours just to keep it at like 0.05% or whatever. And it is absolutely fantastic. The film is a fucking smash hit, I would say. Like, most...
Is it like comedic or is it sort of darker and more serious? I couldn't quite tell from the trailer.
It's a gritty thriller.
Kind of both. Like, it's a dramedy, I suppose. Like, it's a drama with, like, funny elements. But at the same time, like, I think most serious films about booze are quite moralistic and, like, really kind of harp on the negative effects of drinking. Whereas this is like a complete counterbalance. It's all about how great drinking is, or like it's about how great life is and how like drinking is like a part of it or whatever, you know, like the drinking is kind of like secondary to people living their best life, I suppose. And like there are like sad elements to it and really kind of grim elements to it, as there is with like us all, you know, drinking. I've had terrible hangovers, I've had terrible nights, I've had terrible days, you know, as a result of boozing. But on the whole, like, alcoholism is, you know, it's not an entirely negative thing. And I think that this film really sums up what's positive about alcohol. And, you know, like, I think that, like, in our discourse, there's very few people making the case that it's positive. And it's just really nice to see a artsy film that's that way inclined.
Is it basically making the argument that, yes, there are bad things, but it's a net positive? Just enjoy it.
I don't know that it's saying it's a net positive, but it is. Yeah, it's saying that there are positives. Right. You know,
it almost certainly is, though, a net positive. And you really don't have to. I mean, you can figure out why it is, but really, all you need to observe is the obvious cost.
Mm.
And when you see something
about $5.50 a pint.
Yes, about $5.50 a pint. When you see something that persists over time, as alcohol has with humans, for that long, and it has an obvious cost, it's paying its way somewhere else. Elsewise, populations that indulged in it would be outcompeted by those that didn't, and it would go away. It would have gone away by now, particularly because evolution on a cultural level happens way more rapidly than it does. Like, obviously it wouldn't, like, cellularly we wouldn't evolve that quickly, but culturally we evolve that way all the time, and we haven't with alcohol. Now granted, distilled spirits are hyper novel, so
aren't they hyper novel?
They're maybe not hyper novel.
What does hyper novel mean?
Okay, to be honest, hyper novel would probably be like last couple of hundred years, but okay. But they are, because we couldn't, it's relatively complicated. I mean, they've probably been doing it in China forever, because they've been doing everything in China forever. But there's an upper limit on what fermenting and brewing percentage-wise will get you. I think it's like 18-19%, because after, above that, the alcohol kills off the fermentable or whatever, the yeast or whatever.
But we've been fermenting and brewing forever.
And
before we've been drinking cow's milk.
Before we always certainly before we've probably if you observe what apes will do, although they probably didn't deliberately do it, that they'll go toward fruit that has been, you know, left out for a while, and they'll eat that or drink the juice of that, and they'll get, you know, drunk. So we've probably been doing it before we were human,
yeah,
in one way or another.
Yeah.
Given the very obvious cost.
Do you think that's why we always start with cider? It's like just an ancient thing. Go for the fermented apple from the tree. It's like just intrinsically in our DNA. Like,
yeah. Every Sidona was really base. Like,
yeah, we're like,
well, if you think about it, like the very first stuff would have been stuff that kind of the kind of thing that can ferment spontaneously, like apples basically apples, do.
Yeah.
Just put them in a bucket and leave them.
You know? Like grapes are quite similar. I think it's something on the skin of the grape that that turns it into wine, or that starts the process. I could be wrong about that, James would probably know, but I'm not. There's no way I'm giving him a chance to answer.
If only there was a sommelier in the room.
Not while I'm in the middle of my important speech.
Oh no, it's stone cold.
Like, if that's true, if there's literally something on the skin of the grape that when you mash it and leave it, turns it into alcohol.
And thank the Lord for foot perverts, because we weren't mashing that until we realized
how
just get those dirty feet.
Because
we've been drinking and fermenting forever, but we've been pervs for way longer than that.
Way longer. If you study actually apes, funny enough, and we don't know if it's because they want to, but they'll just fucking jerk it all day if they're left alone. Like, they'll do it.
And because they have opposable thumbs on their feet, they'll just jerk them with their feet.
Damn. Your hands get tired, you can just go any way, which way. Like, so it went born perverts, which I guess is original sin, so of course, and then alcoholics. I guess we'll never
for doing it. I mean, is it really perverse? I mean, isn't it what we're supposed to do? I mean, God's real.
Yeah,
right?
I suppose wearing clothes is perverse.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
it is. You know, because that's a very Ferengi attitude of you, Gavin. That was one of the points the Ferengi made one of the first times they appeared in Next Generation. There is it's horrific how they clothe their women, encouraging others to unclothe them.
I would thoroughly recommend.
Where can you watch? It's 20 feet Long John Silver, or
you might need to be Long John Silver. It's still in a few cinemas. I think it's kind of at the last showings. It's worth seeing in the cinema because
you cinemaed it. Did you?
I cinemaed it.
You don't care about killing everyone with COVID. That's cool.
Yeah,
that's really.
Yeah, and I found that it was a bit of a trek with the cinema, the fact that I had to breathe on everyone as they walked in the door. Like, I missed a good bit of the film, but make sure I killed them.
I would say, thank Tony Holohan for that rule. You didn't invent that. You'd have just sat there.
I'd have just sat there, like, spaced out, you know? That would have been preferable to me. Putting space between me and everyone around me, I would have loved that.
But recognize...
I gotta breathe on everyone.
That you're not an expert, you trust the science, and I'm fairly sure that Tony Holohan, and certainly not a parody Twitter account, I'm almost certain that Tony Holohan says that you have to lick everyone as well.
If lick and ticket didn't rhyme, it wouldn't be science.
They wouldn't have said it. And science and poetry, you know, if it doesn't rhyme, it's not poetry. Take that, Dylan Coburn Gray. And if it doesn't rhyme, it's not science. Take that, Fauci. That's right. We're back with the anti-vax podcast, turning anti-vax so quickly you barely noticed that's what we did.
Yeah.
We were calling it poison from day one.
Alex, no, Manus, you were calling it poison.
Listen.
What's this we?
I don't know if you listen to the episodes you're on, but this whole I don't like to edit things because it's too much work is a smokescreen, and I have made you say a lot of things that the woke Twitter brigade won't let you forget anytime soon, Gavin. You got a lot of news.
This is the first time I've seen you since like the big health kick, and I was wondering, because all that heavy lifting you're doing editing, is clearly what's giving you those sweet guns.
It is. It's true. They're, it's the heavy lifting. As if carrying you guys on my back for the last 4 years wasn't draining enough. All it gave me is a stooped back and a sore arse. Don't quite know where that came from, the sore arse part.
I wouldn't ask any questions, man.
Yeah, I don't ask anymore. I don't want to. Can't unring a bell. So, gentlemen, what do we think of this beer?
This beer is delicious. It hits you immediately with that alcoholic kind of pang that 10% will do for you. But I find it mellowed big time. And I'm not sure that I can place the flavor of the beer. And I'm not sure if that's a good or a bad thing. But what I can tell you is I enjoyed that flavor. This is a slam dunk home run win for me. It's a 9 out of 10.
Excellent. I don't think we probably have one last week. I'm not even going to say anything. 9 out of 10. Big score. Big score. James?
Yeah, it's a good beer. It does mellow. I agree. The first few sips, the sort of alcohol taste is really overpowering. But as you get through the drink, it does mellow and you get sort of the fruity flavors underneath it. Sort of seems sort of orange to me. I was getting that. It almost felt like someone had poured like some Cointreau into a beer or something. It's very nice. I definitely recommend it. Don't think I can go quite as high as Gavin, but I think it's an 8. It is still a very good beer.
Excellent. Ben, you might as well give a score for your Vortex or whatever it was called.
Or do you have a score? You drank
the jingle jangle that you might have been hearing from my mic. It's not Christmas Come Early. It's a dog with a collar on. That's if anyone wondering why I was going mute and unmute, and anyone listening, why any unusual sounds, either one of us jerking at another table or my dog. Sometimes both.
I didn't know you got a dog, Ben. That's exciting.
Yeah, we have, he's 8, so he's 56 in dog years. Nice. And a very good boy, depending. Boy, when not depending. That's enough about the dog. Follow me on any social channel to see nothing but dog content. But I remember really liking it. It was amongst a bunch of other beers. I can't get swayed by today. I'd be inclined to give it like a 7.5, 8. I think for posterity, 7, just because I'm not reviewing it fresh. But I can definitely give a score for Vortex Illusion, also by Wicklow Wolf, which was delicious, and I'd give that an 8. So either way, Wicklow Wolf on their boozier end are getting between the 7 and 8 for me. Either the Dipper, nice, which is 8, or the Tripper, which really should be Tripper, not Tipper, 7.
Excellent. Nice. So,
yeah. So for the beer that's in front, for the beer of the week, it's a 9.87, averaging out to an 8.
To an 8? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pick it up.
That's good math.
Pick up the Wicklow Wolf.
I'm really raging that series. It was actually sold out by the time I tried to add it to my craft central order. So it's clearly in hot demand.
And that really only leaves us one thing to cheers to. And to my mind, that is to hot demand.
To hot demand. Woo!
Excellent.
I'm trying to think, hot demand sounds like, and like, there's a joke in there somewhere and I can't find it. Sorry, go on without me.
We're joke sayers, not joke writers.
Yeah, weird. Give me a joke and I'll say it. Yeah.
And cut! Good enough. Splice in some reaction shots of me and shove it on the air.